We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's the True Faith Newcastle United podcast. What a big win for Newcastle United at Leeds United yesterday. Ellen Road, you've got Alex Hurst, Charlotte Robson and Norman Riley to talk you through one of the big days, one of the great days. Me and Norman were there. Charlotte wasn't. She had lots of questions for us. It just felt so good. That feeling of full-time, clean sheet and win away from home, something I haven't or we haven't experienced in so long. I think Sheffield United in 2019, that was a long time ago. That was our last league win away from home in front of supporters. And wow, it felt good. We're going to talk about the game, what the result means, what it does to Newcastle United this season, and talk about what went well and who played well. I'm very happy. Norman, you were with me in Ellen Road. You're very happy too, I assume. Just how big a win was this for Newcastle United yesterday?
It was huge, but let me first of all say that I think we beat Southampton away pre-lockdown 1-0 and I was there.
I wasn't there, so it doesn't count.
Don't take that away from me. Yeah. I'll tell you what I felt, mate, honestly, at the end of it. Like, it was like every single emotion that I could have felt at a football match had gone through us, and I was kind of simultaneously overjoyed but absolutely exhausted and drained of emotion at the same time. I can't explain it. It's almost like how I felt at the end of the match was a microcosm of what it's like being a Newcastle fan. It was like everything was amazing and everything was really scary at the same time. It's kind of that is how it feels. And I can't even, like, the celebration for the goal, I remember turning around after, you know, almost like getting thrown on the floor because of the excitement. I remember turning around and you had that kind of reaction that I had when we took the lead against Man U at Old Trafford a few years ago. It was almost like you were in shock, like stasis. And I was thinking to myself, I'm going to have to get the defib out for you. It was spectacular. I mean, the weight of the victory, it's huge, especially because really you could argue that results went our way this weekend. Norwich winning, but it was against Watford, so it was great. Everton losing, brilliant. And I would even say Brentford losing as well. You know, that's 6 defeats in 7 for Brentford now. So they're getting kind of dragged into it. So that the kind of net is getting wider for the teams that are in poor form and are getting caught in this net of being potential relegation candidates, which works out fantastically for us. So it was ultimately, look, the performance will pick that apart as we're going through the podcast, no doubt. But ultimately, the result and how we got it kind of not even clinging on at the end, but just holding on to a lead, psychologically huge, and the importance can't be overemphasized. It is a massive, massive result. But look, I will caveat it with saying that we've got Everton at home my next game, which is a relegation 6 point ultimately, given where they are on the table. This result will mean nothing unless we go and beat Everton. However, haven't seen how we played yesterday, haven't seen the togetherness on the pitch. As I say, mentioning the psychological boost, I feel confident going to that Everton game now. It was brilliant, mate. I'm feeling reborn.
I totally agree with you, Norman. It's this, like, that stasis, that stillness is definitely how I reacted. I was just like, surely not. And then you get that element of, after the goal, well, we've still got 15 minutes left of this game. Are we just going to throw it away like last week? Are we going to be frightened that we've taken the lead? And that didn't happen yesterday. And now going into the Everton game in 2 weeks' time, I am just so excited to see what we can do. Everton are a team all over the place at the moment. Never thought they'd be being dragged into the bottom three or bottom four, but they are. And it's just a really exciting opportunity. And I take your point that, you know, if we don't win that, this means nothing, but right now this means everything. And I'm just going to sort of bathe in that for a little bit.
Bathe we shall. And I agree with everything you say there. There are lots of positives from yesterday, but probably the thing I called it a shithouse win in the video afterwards. Maybe it was a little bit harsh on the team there because it played well overall. But it just felt a little bit normal. We should be able to go away from home 2 or 3 times a season, contest an incredibly close game, which is ultimately decided by a mistake, and like the competence of the team doing the things they have to do well, like defend, like not make any catastrophic errors. You know, fair play, Kieran Clarke, he comes on, doesn't give away a goal. That's progress. Anyhow, it's going to transform this player. He did well when he came on. But I just quite like it. It's like sometimes when, you know, Norman, you referenced that Southampton game there. Newcastle should have won that game like comfortably. They should have been out of sight. We're playing against 10 men for large parts. It was a little while ago. I just like the fact that we've gone away from home. There wasn't much in the game at all. We had some big performances from big players, which we're going to go on to later. And we haven't hung in there because I don't think the balance of play leaves would deserve that. But we're just in the game. And if you can stay in the game for long periods and you can compete at Leeds' level, which we did, which we should, you're going to win some games across the season. And it's like, you know, we've won 2 games now, and that was our first away win and first clean sheet of the season. We weren't going to stay up until we got our first away win of the season. You know, we are doing the little things now that have to be done, that are absolutely essential. And that's why it's really, really positive to me. And in terms of like the other teams that you referenced there, Norman and Charlotte, every time Newcastle win, it's different. So if Burnley win a game, it's different because A, we have 8 days yet left of this transfer window and other teams are frightened about what we can do in this transfer window. We need more players in, but everyone knows that. Everyone at the club knows that and they're trying hard to get them. But I think it was a really important result because we couldn't be 4 points behind a Norwich team that before Friday night had scored 10 goals in 20 league games. You know, that's bad. That this was such a good win because we have this break and it gives everyone belief. And what I really liked, we're going to talk about some of the players and substitutions and the manager later, but I really liked that as the game went on, we got better. And that hasn't been the case for a long time. And Eddie Howe talked about this post-game that one of the key things to do was hang on. And it really made me think, and I'll open this to both of you. I don't know who wants to go first, but one of the most positive things about yesterday and hanging on like that, and this is the thing, it wasn't really hanging on. We actually, I think, controlled the game at 1-0.
Yeah.
And it's the complete opposite of last week. Complete opposite of against Watford.
Leeds shrank.
Yeah.
Like, Leeds just were like, oh no, that's us.
Yeah, I'll come to Norman next. But what I want to say is, if you look at the context of our season, right, Southampton at home, okay? Who else is there? Watford last week. Man United, even Brentford in terms of the errors that were made. I'll not throw Norwich in there, but those 4 games, right? Newcastle are the better team and deserve to win.
Yeah,
I don't know that Norwich, Burnley, and Watford can say that. I don't know that Everton can say that. We were the better team here. We didn't win. Now it is the hallmark of a relegated team to throw away points when playing well and all of that. But that gives me a lot of confidence and it gives me a lot of hope for the future that actually, if we get what we deserve and we do things in games which mean that the opposition aren't going to be given the gifts they've been given, we might be nowhere near this bottom 3. Now, we deserve to be where we are. But those 4 fixtures there, Newcastle are the better team. Now, there's an extra 8 points that Newcastle should have. And I think that's why Howe was so pleased at full-time yesterday talking about closing out the game because everyone listening to this knows about losing the points from winning positions. Newcastle were the better team in that second half yesterday, and that I take a lot from that, Norman.
I take a huge amount from it because, as Howe said, it's a psychological hurdle overcome. And for me, that after we scored yesterday, I would say that for the first time this season, I mean, we've only won one other game, but even the Burnley game, which I think we were the better side by some distance, ultimately, the last 10 minutes, they did start applying pressure and there was a bit of concern that maybe could have scored. I think Rodriguez even had a goal to set out possibly for being offside.
Yeah, he did.
Whereas yesterday, that was the first time this season that we've taken the lead and we've seen it out so comfortably. Leeds, I don't recall them creating any clear-cut chance after we scored. And ultimately, what we did was, is not only did we defend well against, you know, the I will say their waves of attacks, that they had a lot of the ball and they were pushing, but as I say, they didn't create anything clear cut. What we did was we exploited them on the break. That was the first time I've seen us this season really exploit space that was left because the other team was attacking and trying to score. And we could have, by the end of that game, after that first goal goes in, we could have had another two. We could have won that game 3-0. And that's really encouraging to see, because what it does is, again, against Everton, it offers me that hope that we're kind of learning. Howe's obviously seen the problem with throwing away 9 leads this season prior to this. Yesterday, we looked like a team that knows how to how to control a game after taking the lead. So, as I say, psychologically, taking that in the Everton match, it's everything. It's a barrier overcome. And look, after the Burnley game, I was incredibly confident and incredibly elated, and things kind of went wrong. But what I saw yesterday was just those little signs of a togetherness and an organisation and a belief. And you saw in the celebrations at the end of the game, these are players who I genuinely feel believe that they can get themselves out of this. So hugely important on many, many levels.
Yeah, you can't underestimate that psychological impact, can you? On, you know, just getting to that point, believing, even if it's almost that, it's not, but it's almost that fake it till you make it type of thing. You know what I mean? Like, just pretend you believe in yourself and then eventually it will come. Like, after last week, and we just didn't believe in ourselves to hold on to that lead, we lost it. And then that, like, I don't know if it was the collection of players on the pitch. We'd obviously had some people go off, and the team, the dynamic had changed, but really for the better almost. And this sort of like positive feeling on the pitch, just, I don't know. I just think it's massive. And I think going into the next couple of games, we've got this 2-week break. They're off on the holidays for a bit of training, and then we've got another big game. And I just think this group of players, after a sort of team bonding week away or whatever, I'm just really excited to see what kind of additional unity they display on the pitch against Everton. I'm just excited.
I'm excited too. We've got a friendly, I believe, to play as well.
Yes,
so we will be
true.
Playing. Don't know how many loyalty points required for that one.
I will say that we're probably not going to be at that one. Am I right?
No match day for that one. Yeah. No match day podcast and Patreon for that.
I'm happy to be sent there, obviously, if need be.
We'll look into it.
we'll see what we've got in the bank, mate. Yeah. I want to ask you, Charlotte, about us as fans. I'll reference us in this podcast. We sit here, we do this thing, we talk to people about Newcastle United. And last week we're sat here doing this thing and we're talking about being relegated already. And it, you know, is this just the football fans in us and the wider support? We'll draw against Watford and it's like, that's it, it's done. We're just not good enough. None of the players are good enough. We'll go and beat Leeds. And every single person I spoke to walking out the ground yesterday was just like, we're staying up. I've got no doubt about it. It's a good job the players and the manager aren't like this. Like, where are you with it all, Charlotte, in terms of, like, we're talking lots of positives here.
Yeah.
We'll lose next time, whatever, and we're sat in the same office thinking, well, that's it, we're fucked. Like, yeah. What is the truth?
The truth is constantly shifting because, like Norman said right at the top of the podcast, other results matter, the weekends, the other games matter, our performances matter. After Watford, if we'd gone to Elland Road yesterday and played the way that we played against Watford, yeah, we wouldn't have won the game. Like, if we continue to, and we can only analyse what we've seen. So we sat here last weekend really despondent, thinking we're probably going to go down if we continue to play like that. That's a fair assessment, but we didn't continue to play like that. So we turned up at Elland Road. We gave Leeds a really good game. It was very lively. We were really fairly evenly matched, I think, and then we got, I think we deserved the win. And so that is, I think it's just being a football fan. I think it's just, you know, it's the dizzying highs of 18th and the worrying lows of 20th. I just come back to, we can only look at what we have seen. We can't and apply that to the future. So now, yeah, I think we're back in this scrap, and there's everything to play for. If it had gone the same way as Watford, I definitely would have been more depressed and tell you that we're probably going to go down. Now I'm not so sure. I like that. That's why I support this mad team, and that's why I like football. So, yeah, I, this is just it. And you can ridicule, you know, the media and not Newcastle fans can ridicule us for sort of being so dramatic. But that is, it's part of being a fan, isn't it? It's part of supporting a club. But like ours, not like a Liverpool.
that's key. It is part of being a fan. When you support a club that doesn't, you know, challenge for trophies, hasn't done for a long time, I would say that probably applies to football fans of almost every club other than the ones that are, you know, regulars in the Champions League. It's reflective of the hope that you feel. I mean, I would say that how we reacted to winning at Leeds yesterday, this, we're not getting relegated, we're staying up, everything's going to be fine. Like, if you actually take a football match on its own throughout the 90 minutes, regardless of the opponent, you have that kind of up and down, right? You know, oh, first 10 minutes, I'm not playing well, yeah, we're going to get something. Then they start attacking, they have two or three minutes of pressure. Oh, we kind of get it one half. We're going to lose this. You know, it's just what being a football fan is. And I don't think we're being melodramatic. I mean, we're being melodramatic in the sense that we're football fans, and it comes with a territory, right? But it's just what football fans do. And I think if we were all objective about our own football clubs, it would be a fairly boring sport to follow, wouldn't it? I mean, it's the fact that we do have this roller coaster of emotions that makes it worthwhile. Like, I'm buzzing today. And this, the kind of endorphin release that I got when we won yesterday is why I keep going back to football matches. And next week, you know, 2 weeks down the line, if we lose to Everton, I'll be doing in the dumps again. But ultimately, we then go and beat Villa, it'll be high again. That is obviously when we stay up this season and next season we're challenging for the Champions League and basically winning every game, you know, that, then the roller coaster won't be quite as up and doing. But ultimately, Newcastle United for years and throughout my whole time supporting them, this has just been what it's like, you know. It's either everything's perfect or everything is an absolute hellscape. And right now, everything's perfect. So let's embrace it.
Let's embrace it indeed. I want to touch a little bit on the experience in the away end. Me and Si recorded a full podcast on this last night called The Away End, which we do after every away game, on our drive back to Newcastle. I went Leeds in 2016 and it was a disgrace. The access, the kind of crush that you don't really feel anymore at any football. It literally, nothing had improved. There was a big thing made about it at the time. It can't just be Newcastle United fans that have this experience. So I'm at a loss to understand how Leeds think this is an acceptable way to treat people and keep them safe. Essentially, there was only two entrances and five turnstiles for nearly 3,000 people. We got there. Normally, we'd get to a ground 10 minutes before kickoff and get in. Maybe some away games where we've been before, you'd go a little bit early if they're doing kind of two sets of checks. Yesterday, we aimed to be there half an hour before kickoff because we knew it was difficult getting in. I still missed kickoff. Si still missed kickoff. Just tells you how hard it was to get in. In the end, they just opened the wider access. As you know, at football grounds, you're going through turnstiles. Next to every turnstile is a gate or an access for when you come out the ground, you don't go back through the turnstiles. They ended up just opening them and letting people in. It was so bad. There were some fans missed the first 15 minutes of the game through no fault of their own. It was just generally an unsafe situation. When I went in the turnstile, they weren't going to let me in the game, by the way. I was very close to not getting into this game at all because it's electronic turnstiles, but they still got the electronic barcodes on like a stub at the end of the ticket, which makes zero sense to me. Why do you need it to be on a stub? It had come off and they were just saying, no, you can't come in. So that was a bit of a blow. Very fortunately, a steward let me in. And when I went in, I got funneled up the stairs, even though my ticket was downstairs. And there was hundreds of us funneled upstairs who were just told to go upstairs with no seat to go into. And it pretty quickly became a situation where there was the bottom of the stairs in the upper tier. They're not tiers, but the upper and lower accesses. There was just a bar at the front and people were getting pressed against it. And I was like, fucking hell, I'm getting out of here. Really, really poor, really, really bad from Leeds. The Supporters Trust has put a tweet out asking for anyone who experienced stuff like that to drop an email so they can take it up with the club, who can take it up with Leeds of the Premier League, I hope. But that was a really, really unsafe situation. Having said that, Charlotte, are you going to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say for disabled and differently abled fans as well, they ended up getting crowded. I saw a couple of people tweeting. Apparently the people around them were really sound, so it was kind of okay, but they were really crowded and really uncomfortable, and it's just not acceptable.
Not acceptable at all. Very disappointing. Like I said, it was the exact same when we were there in what, November, October 16. Just identical. Really poor. That nothing's been done at all. Having said that, it was some away end, wasn't it, Norman? It was It was just unbelievable. I mean, the scenes for the goal, I said this in the podcast last night, but I'll say it again. If you were to try and tell someone or show someone a photograph just after Newcastle have scored of why there are loads of people lying in between their seat and the seat in front on the floor and like how they've managed to get there, I don't know how you'd explain that. But the scenes for that goal, there's been some big wins, particularly in the last few years for Newcastle United, and games we simply had to win. I think of Huddersfield away late 2018, had to win that game, and we did. We won 1-0. It was similar kind of scenes, Norman. Can you contextualise it in terms of where you would place like the celebrations of the goal and at full time in your time supporting Newcastle United?
In the Roke end, like that was off the charts in terms of the absolute madness. I'm almost sure that I saw like people flying across other people. It was spectacular. Mm-hmm. Huddersfield away, that's a great shout as well. But this yesterday, I saw grown adults like being pushed with such ferocity that they kind of almost flew over 2 to 3 rows of seats. And to the point where you're thinking someone's gonna die here, but I mean they'll die happy. Obviously, it was a madness. If I could draw a picture of it, does anyone follow Cold War Steve on Twitter?
Yeah,
you know, those mad pictures, which is like sort of cut out body all over the place.
Yeah,
it was like that. It was it was absolutely spectacular. And what I will say about Leeds, mate, you're talking about the fact that when you got two gates. However, they do have a carpeted concourse, which is new to me. I've never. Never seen a carpet concourse before. I can't quite understand the point of it, but the emotion of it, like that it was definitely one of those cases where people that you've never met before who don't know you are hugging you. It was a stranger's hugging celebration, and it was beautiful, mate. It was absolutely beautiful. Take me back to like the, I would say, the, because the goal guns in, right? What happens is the goal guns in, and there's like there's a reaction, but. It's almost that shock reaction like you had, as I say it. But then after like sort of 2 or 3 seconds, it's like just this, it just drops and it goes absolutely mad. And I think what contributed to it well was the players' celebrations were fucking brilliant. That absolute pile on. And because at Elland Road, you're right on the pitch as well. The away fans can be right on the pitch. It was a wonderful, wonderful scene. I'd love to see some photos of it. So if anyone's got them and they're listening to this, please stick them on Twitter.
Well said, and yeah, scenes at full time, brilliant. Very, you know, you feel very connected to the players when you're so close to them like that. Eddie Howe was giving it some big, big punches in the air, and it was a big game for Eddie Howe. We might talk about that a little bit, but really, really good day. I think we'll get more into what happened in the actual game now in part two of the show. Going to leave you with some adverts. We'll be back after them. You can join us on Patreon, £6.60 per month. You can also pay in advance. If you pay for the full year, you get 2 months free. Loads more coming up. Newcastle don't have a game for 2 weeks. What better way to keep the buzz going than by listening to Charlotte, Norman and I, plus our colleagues talking about this football club of ours for £6.60 a month. We'll be back after these.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Part two of the True Faith podcast. I want to start off this part of the show by talking about Eddie Howe. This is a massive game for Eddie Howe yesterday. The performances, as much as the results against Cambridge and Watford, weren't good enough, and that was the concern. I think what you saw yesterday was a team that knew what wanted to do. We knew how Leeds wanted to play and was set up accordingly, and we slowed the game down at every opportunity. That really wound up Leeds' players. It wound up Marcelo Bielsa. It was the perfect thing to do. And also for Howe yesterday, he's had to make three enforced changes in that game. He hasn't made any substitutions that he might have made normally. And every single substitution was perfect, okay? So bringing on Longstaff for Joe Linton, Joe Linton went off. I think that improved the team. Maybe that's a conversation for some of our patron stuff about Joe Linton, because I've questioned his role in midfield for a long time now. And I think that playing three central midfielders in central midfield yesterday worked for the team and will look way more balanced. So he's brought on Longstaff there. Great call. He could have changed the shape. He could have moved a player. He could have gone 4-2-3-1. He could have done lots of things. He brought on Longstaff spot on. He brings on Kieran Clark. It's kind of the only player he has to, but Kieran Clark was good when he came on yesterday. Slotted in really well. And then he brings on, probably most impressed by, he's got Jamal Lewis on the bench, and he brings on Javier Manquillo to play wrong side. Javier Manquillo continued where he left off against Manchester United before he suspended for Watford. Didn't get picked, I think, for Cambridge, which is weird.
Yeah.
But really, 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 really good substitution that. And Norman, I'm keen on your thoughts on Manquillo. But this lad quite literally changed the game. Our left back changed the game. First of all, Rafinha, who'd been dominating Paul Dummett. It's not Dummett's fault. Rafinha's the class act. Is completely shut down by Manquillo on several attacks. And Leeds kind of have to start going through the middle more, which we cope with much more easily. And then also just his run for the free kick. And, you know, brilliant run. Wrong foot. Really unlucky to be brought down because he sent the lad the wrong way. It works out for us in the end. But Norman, talk me about Javier Manquillo. You were really impressed, mate.
Spot on. Our left back, who was actually right back, he was phenomenal. And I think during the game, I think I said to you, possibly at half time, that Dummett was being rinsed by Rafinha so often that he wasn't actually offering anything defensively. It was like, we've just got to forget about defending on that side of the pitch. And what we could do, what we could do is we could actually do with a threat going forward. So bring on Jamal Lewis. I was thinking, bring on Jamal Lewis. And then when Dummett was going off, I was thinking, nice one to bring on Lewis now. It might give us something. And he brought on Manquillo. And don't get me wrong, I wasn't disappointed because I've always liked Manquillo. But I'd completely forgotten he was there. And how also took the chance of bringing on a right back, a left back, because he knew that he was going to get more out of Manquillo than he would out of Lewis. And it was a brilliant call. And the kid, we've said this before, I think even under Rafa, he did get a bit of stick initially. And I think, you know, quite a few people defended him. And he's just grown as a player. He is one of the players in that squad who's been there since we come back in the Premier League, who has improved year on year, I think. And yesterday, the moment he came on the pitch, as you say, the dynamic of the game completely changed. He's quick. He's quicker than I thought he was. You know, where we were in the stadium, like right on the touchline, you could see him. He just motored down that left-hand side for the run that got him the free kick that obviously Shelvey scored from. And also what he is he's fucking hard. He's hard, man. He gets stuck in. He puts his body in. There was a couple of times where he went in for the first challenge. He didn't get the kind of the bounce of the ball, but then he just threw himself straight into the next challenge and he completely unsettled Rafinha. And it was Rafinha. He had a bit of a ding-dong, Rafinha, didn't he? And he stood up to him. We got the free kick. Fabian Cheer did his usual beautiful thing of just completely going over and shithousing Rafinha straight away in his ear. For $4.5 million, Manquillo has been, in my opinion, out of the home like Ashley era for $4.5 million. He's been one of the best signings that the club made.
I think picking Manquillo over Lewis. Oh my God, my brain doesn't work today. I've only had one coffee. Is a really good choice against a player like Rafinha because, to Norman's point, he's just gonna really defend. He's gonna really get stuck in, and he did. He's a very physical defender. So Lewis can sort of carry the ball a bit more up the pitch or like send it up, but isn't gonna physically block in the same way that Manquillo does. So it's just really good to watch. Everybody's full of praise.
Totally agree. And another player who deserves a lot of praise is Fabian Shaw. I thought that was his best game for Newcastle United yesterday. He was a leader. He was talking to his teammates. He had to move sides when Lascelles went off. again, I thought we got a little bit better when Lascelles went off. Not that Lascelles was terrible, but I just, you know, I like Fabian Schär because he brought the ball out well. He's comfortable. He's got a lot of confidence. He exudes confidence as a player and as a man. And I just, you know, his block when Lascelles got injured with his ankle was crucial. I think that was going in. And, you know, if I talk about that, the spine of the team quickly, Dubravka makes a massive save at 0-0. I mean, if that goes in Newcastle are 1-0 down after 11 minutes in Leeds, who knows what's happening? I've been pretty vocal. I do not buy into the Martin Dubravka's finished. He's not the keeper he was. He hasn't been throwing them in. He's been playing in front of the worst defence maybe we've ever seen at times. You know, I think Dubravka has been fine for us. Has he been man of the match every game or has he been amazing? No. But that's a big save yesterday. And that's why I love Martin Dubravka. He didn't have loads to do after that. But what he did do was very, very good. He dominated aerially. He came and collected balls. Once Leeds start swinging in the balls from deep, you kind of know they've run out of ideas. And they got nothing from that tactic because Dubravka was off his line. Really impressed with him. You've got Fabian Schär putting in the performance of a lifetime. Winning every header. Reading the game. The difference between Schär and Lascelles is Lascelles is better in the air and better physically. Schär reads the game. He knows what Leeds are trying to do before they do it, and therefore he's able to intercept a lot. And every time, like you mentioned earlier, Charlotte, every time something didn't work to Leeds, because they're low on confidence, because they didn't have a centre-forward playing, they're a bit like, oh, well, that didn't work. I'll try something else. And they run out of options pretty quickly. And then in front of him, Jonjo, it's not just the goal, and it's easy to talk about him because of the goal, but he was really physical. And Howe talked about it in the second half. Norman, you talked about it too. We had to match Leeds' physical prowess yesterday because they're a big team. They were bigger than us, big lads playing just like... We didn't watch Watford's, didn't match Watford's physicality as far as I'm concerned. Sheldy was putting his foot in, putting his head in, winning 50-50s, winning the ball, taking the ball, and he capped that off a good display with that goal. And although the keeper is shocking for it and he's gifted us 3 points... it's a really, really good shot because he makes sure it bounces in the six-yard box, so it's much harder to deal with. The reason the keeper probably does what he does is Leeds are asleep. Kieran Clark looks like he's going to get a foot on it, but dummies it. Very smart by Clark, really good contribution. And the keeper, by the time he tries to react and it skips off the surface, it's too late. So really, really pleased with that spine of the team yesterday. It worked really well. But Chris Wood didn't really do anything in front of goal again, but in the second half held the ball up much, much better than he did against Watford and contributed. Norman, you want to talk about physicality quickly?
Very quickly, the difference yesterday between, you know, the side and what it would have been under Bruce, there's no way our fitness levels would have been able to do that yesterday. Like, the players were blown at the end, right? But in the best possible way, because they ran with full intensity for the entirety of the game. Under Steve Bruce, one of the big issues, and obviously, you know, players have come out subsequently and said this was an issue, that they weren't fit enough. There is absolutely no way we could have coped with Leeds United under Steve Bruce. And you look back at last season when the beat were 5-2, we absolutely collapsed against them through the fact that the players just weren't fit enough. So this is something that Howe has managed to transform in a very short space of time. He's got those players back at that kind of optimum athleticism, and it's fantastic to see.
Totally great. Norman, you want to talk a lot about Joe Willock.
Oh, he was absolutely wonderful. Howe's call before the match, you know, speaking to him, a Leeds fan, obviously on the opposition view, the fact that he's a mate, so we talk about football quite regularly. He said that, you know, what happens with us is the midfield's quite cumbersome, and when we attack, there's space, there's a lot of space left in behind, and you need somebody who can exploit that space, just filling in the gaps, running the space, causing a bit of chaos. And I genuinely think that Joe Willock did that yesterday. He's athleticism, he's pace. Look, the kids were on confidence, right? You think of last season, his confidence is almost like the complete polar opposite. He was just, everything he touched went in the back of the net. This season, his touch has been off. His passing's been off. He hasn't, you know, been scoring goals. And you saw a little bit of that yesterday. You know, the first sort of half an hour, he was a little bit... Yeah, he was a little bit sort of shoddy with his passing. But ultimately, what he did was he never stopped running. He never stopped getting in the way, putting blocks in, closing down space and just genuinely causing confusion, but also making himself available. You think the amount of times that we attacked and Maxi had the ball, Willock was there. Willock was an outlet for him. When Fraser had the ball, Willock was an outlet, and he was working left to right. And that, to me, was the absolute spot-on call by Howe. I thought before the game, bring in Willock or Almiron, because we need that pace, that movement, and he brought in Willock, and it paid off it paid off perfectly. So really glad to see it. And I hope he takes a load of confidence from that. And I really hope to see him start against Everton.
It's so interesting to me because, you know, you say it on the Matchday podcast as well, that for patrons that you were enjoying him, thinking he was at half-time, sort of having a great game, all of that stuff. I was not at Ellen Road yesterday, but listening and watching bits and looking at Twitter and seeing what people were talking about. And there was a lot of criticism coming Willock's way at half-time. A lot of sort of, this is not the player we had last season. Like, true, but also, like, why is he on the pitch? That kind of comment shouldn't be on, not adding anything. And then by full time, obviously, he had that brilliant chance in the injury time, that was a sort of flash of last season's Willock. By full time, you know, people were saying, like, fair play to him, he really grew into that game, he was, you know, brilliant by the end. That obviously wasn't your perception, Norman, and I'm just kind of interested in sort of your take on that, Alex or Norman.
Well, I think that me and Norman thought he was having a good game in the first half because Leeds have the better of the first half, probably. It's not a domination or anything like that from them, but I'm just impressed by how much Willock can get around the pitch. Right, so Shelby's immobile. Joe Linton is also good at getting around the pitch a lot. But it's about execution, and sometimes you have to look a little bit beyond execution. So, as Norman says, his passing was a little bit off. He had the ball in a couple of good positions around the 18-yard box and didn't get a shot off when he should have, or passed when he should have shot. But we're still able to appreciate that he brought something different to the team. I think Willock should have started against Cambridge. Newcastle are going to play 4-3-3, okay, under Eddie Howe. That's how he wants to play. He started with a back five against Brentford. He moved to a 4-2-3-1. We'll play a 4-3-3 now. Willock for Newcastle did all his good work in a 5-3-2 last season with two other central midfielders alongside him. So I find it very strange that he wasn't brought in against Cambridge and he wasn't brought in against Watford. And in those games, midfield was the big problem for us, the massive problem for us. So you have to bring someone who's more creative. And what Willock brings is he's able to carry the ball 30 yards with two players in his back. At the end of it, in the first half when he tried to do it, the end result might not be what we want, but we've got the ball 30 yards up the pitch.
Yeah.
And like you say, Charlotte, second half, those kind of things did start to come off. He should score. That's probably my biggest criticism, is he should score that chance. It was a good save by the keeper, but he should score. I just think that I want to see him getting better. And one of the good things about this game, and for Eddie Howe in particular, big performances yesterday from Martin Dubravka, Shaw, Kevin Clark when he came on, Mankio when he came on, Jonjo Shelvey, Joe Willock, Sean Longstaff. Even ASM, which we're going to talk about in a second. If you had to pick a list of players who've got a lot of stick, particularly from crowds in the grounds this season, there's your list of players. And particularly after Watford, you know, Sean Longstaff comes on yesterday, but he was terrible against Watford. I'm really enthused by the fact that these players have got better with a week of training under Eddie Howe and were able to execute Howe's game plan yesterday. That's incredibly promising to me. Norman, I don't know if you think I've missed anything in answer to Charlotte's question there.
No, totally, totally echo everything you've said there. What I'll also say about Willock is he was the perfect example of the difference in how you perceive a player's performance being in the stadium or watching on TV, right? Because obviously you're only going to see Willock on TV or whatever dodgy stream you're watching it on when the ball is near him. So as we've said, in the first, I would say, a half hour of the game, and we mentioned this, I think, possibly on the Matchday podcast, definitely in conversation, that he's, you know, his control was a little bit off, his passing was a little bit off. But that did improve throughout the game. But what he never stopped from the first minute doing, as I say, was doing the absolute graft that was necessary against one of the fittest sides to play with an intensity that's not matched by many other teams. So I always see things about games when I watch them on TV, and then after speaking to people who've been there, you're like, all right, and fair enough. Because as I say, you're only following the ball on telly, so much of it you miss out. And Willock yesterday, if you'd only seen him in the first half hour with the ball at his feet, you might have thought, what's he on the pitch for? But being in the stadium, you kind of realised from the first minute why he was on the pitch.
A player who has, top scorer, Alisson Maximin, again, really frustrating the away end at times yesterday. We've talked about a lot this week on our parent podcast. We talked about this show last week. I think we're just going to have to suck it up, you know. And I don't know what people think about that, but I think we're just going to have to accept that he isn't going to be great at winning the ball back. He isn't going to be the great at getting up off the ground. after an attack's gone wrong. I mean, after that penalty yesterday, which wasn't a penalty, which should have been a penalty, it took about half an hour to get back, you know, into our own half, never mind into position to help the team out, and that frustrates people a lot. Ultimately, this is the ASM yesterday should have had three assists. He should have had a pen. He plays in Ryan Fraser, who should score, in my opinion, and he plays in Joe Willock, who should score, in my opinion. That's like three integral moments amongst all the frustration of his lack of product, and it looks like a lack of effort at times. I just feel he's so important to this side. If he was injured yesterday, people are bigging up Ryan Fraser. It's an interesting comparison to me. There's Ryan Fraser playing through the pain barrier, running hard, getting back into shape, you know, really working for the team, and it's appreciated. But there's fuck all end product there. Yeah. But there's nothing there. I'm not saying Fraser played badly, but I've yet to see him play well for Newcastle. And he gets way less stick than ASM, top scorer. Really interesting, Norman, you want to come in?
Look, we've had this debate, you know, it's been an ongoing debate for a few weeks about the system that Howe's trying to play and whether or not ASM fits into it. But ultimately, he's only got the squad of players that he's got to work with. And ASM, you know, he has weaknesses. Not tracking back is the obvious one, you know, not pressing. I think he stays down too long when he's been tackled or doesn't get awarded a free kick. I think he kind of dwells on it too long, whereas he should just be back on his feet and back into the game. But ultimately, throughout his time at Newcastle, more or less, all a dangerous attacking player comes through him. And yesterday, pretty much all a dangerous attacking player came through him. The Willock chance, the Fraser chance. He was beating Leeds players with ease and just putting them on the back foot constantly throughout the game. And as you see, he should have had a penalty. The reality is, no matter what, he doesn't give away in terms of the defensive aspects of the game, the fact that we can't get frustrated with him, what appears to be a lack of effort on at times, his attacking threats, just it's too important. Like, we are a weaker side without Alanza Maximan, and that's the only way to look at it now is, all right, despite the system that we're trying to play, despite the faults that ASM's got, take him out the side and put someone else in, does that improve us as a team, given the players that we have in the squad at the moment? I don't think it does, and I think in a relegation battle, the magic that he can produce, it's vital. It's vital. For me, the argument's over. He has to stay in the team.
I think for ASM, the criticism that he gets, ASM has much more potential than a Ryan Fraser. ASM's a much more exciting player than a Ryan Fraser. ASM can change a game, and he's a fun player to watch. And so he's held to a higher standard. So when he doesn't, you know, work very defensively, or when he doesn't move the ball, people get more and more frustrated with him because they perceive that he can in a much more effective way than the other players. So it's not that we're holding everybody to the same standard here. It's just that we want more from him because we believe he can do more, I think.
I agree. I agree completely. This just about does us. Well, it actually, we are finished. I will say that every week we're just about done. No, we are done on the True Faith podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Fantastic weekend for Newcastle United. I'm still absolutely buzzing. Thank you, Charlotte and Norman, for your company and contributions. We'll be back later this week with a new signing at True Faith. Journalist Craig Hope from the Daily Mail is going to speak to True Faith every couple of weeks on Patreon about what's going on at Newcastle United, how he perceives it. We've got a great relationship with Craig, as we do, very fortunately, a lot of the North East press pack. And join us on Patreon for Craig and his view on the Leeds win and much else about Eddie Howe on Patreon, £6.60 a month. We'll be back with a few more free podcasts because we do two a week now before the Everton game, which seems like a lifetime away at the minute. I wish it was this Tuesday because I just want to see us play football again and win. Thanks very much for listening. Back with you very soon. Bye-bye.